This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here, Outdoorsman Radio Show, Hour 2, if you're just joining us. Well, we're here with, what's your name again? E.W. Grimes from the Quality Deer Management Association. We're talking about a couple of things going on with the DNR. The public meetings are coming up for the hunting regulations changes, which were floated a couple of weeks ago at a stakeholders meeting. And they deal with, well, you want to talk about those a little bit? Let's talk about those. But before we do, the bad news is, Charles, the gentleman who calls with adventures from around the world, and many of our regular listeners know who Charles is. I call him the most interesting man in the world. Dr. Charles Cooper passed away yesterday afternoon. His viewing is at the Marzullo Funeral Chapel, that's 6009 Harford Road on Monday from 2 to 4 and from 6 to 8. And then Dr. Cooper will be cremated the following day. So for those of you who have any interest, Dr. Cooper, Charles has passed away. He was in declining health for a while. Last time I spoke to him, I believe, was here on the air when we sang him happy birthday back, I believe, in October. Prior to that, he had called me and told me he was in sad shape. He was, in his words, worn out. And consequently, he had fallen. He had declined quite rapidly and had fallen. And his caretaker made sure he was comfortable, I believe, in a nursing home, and I don't know which one. And I will tell you that Dr. Cooper, in his lifetime, did what he claimed to do. He met with, back in the 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s, he met with leaders of the world. He met with leaders from China. He met with leaders from India, Nehru, Gandhi. Dr. Albert Schweitzer tracked him down in the jungle. And he was an avid hunter, fisherman, but he explored China, India. He explored Africa. He was a chiropractor by trade, but he would do research and papers on the physiology and particularly the skeletal and spinal systems of primates and other animals around the world. Tremendously interesting man. So Dr. Cooper, as far as I know, has no family. And, you know, we've lost a good guy. Just want to put that out there. So, all right, let's talk about some of these concepts, and we've shared them a couple times here on the air. One of the good ones is the wanton waste regulation coming into effect. Basically, it says you want to make sure that hunters make every effort to recover a deer that might be wounded.
Yes.
Rather than just – it's good. It's a good proposal.
It is, and it should include the DMPs.
And it doesn't. And that a DMP and that is a deer management permit, a crop damage
that
permit.
That is correct. And that needs to be included in that wanton waste and be very strong about it, because there's a lot of crop damage. There's a lot of DMPs that are more interested in killing an animal. And if it don't drop right on the spot, they tend to let them go and let Mother Nature do its course. And that's
that's wasteful.
Wrong. That's
sure.
Wrong. That's
yeah, you always follow up.
Yeah, you know, make best effort at best. You know, there is going to be bad shots. There is going to be misses and wounds. And, I mean, it's going to be it's going to happen. But there's a lot of waste out there. And, you know, in the DMPs, you know, you're supposed to actually, it says it in the regulation of the DMP that you need to process that meat.
Right.
And
not all of them fail miserably, but there's enough of them out there that
to make a difference.
Yeah, that the foxes and the buzzards get plenty to eat.
Yeah, coyotes.
Yeah.
You know,
you had to bring up coyotes.
I know it.
You know, the Southeast Deer Managers event was just a couple of weeks ago, and a large part of the day was spent on coyotes.
Absolutely. My year may be wrong, but I'm thinking 4 years ago or 5 years ago, QDMA actually started a program how much influence the coyotes were actually having in South Carolina, and supported some data and research on that. And I think it was like 4 years ago when everybody was saying, well, coyotes really don't hurt the deer that much, or they really don't have that much effect on deer populations. And they started some significant scientific programs to track and see what effect they were actually having. And hey, wake up, guys.
Well, my understanding is from the Southeast Deer Study Group, and these are deer managers, biologists.
These are
people that are involved every day.
Every day.
In the deer world.
Yes.
They actually found that even if coyotes are not consuming deer, they've tried to do a study on, or they're doing studies on the effect of coyotes just in the area, in the population, and what effect that has.
Yes.
And I can tell you the one property we hunt in Montgomery County is influenced by coyotes. We've seen them on trail cams. We've heard them in the evenings and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you can tell when there's one in the area because the deer act all squirrely.
Absolutely.
They really are squirrely.
It's a predator. It's a predator that's been missing in the equation for a long time. And, yes, I mean, they will literally remove a deer from a particular area if they den up and they stand. The unfortunate part about coyotes is they have a huge home range.
Yes, they do.
Huge, and it overlaps many, many deer.
Yeah.
This year in Carroll County, I actually seen a pair during gun season, last day of gun season, actually in the snow, and was unable to get a good beat on them.
Yeah, that's hard to do.
But because they were running,
yeah.
But nevertheless, it's the first time I've actually physically seen them during deer season. And, you know, if there's two, there's going to be more.
I was in Harford County this week, and I was talking to a couple of folks up there. There's a couple of archery shops in Harford County, a couple of gun stores, and a couple of feed stores and things like that. And part of the conversation at just about all those locations was the abundance of coyotes in Harford County and the effect that they're having. Well, when I got off 95... at the Cal Ripken, what is that, 222 or whatever that is, that whatever
Boulevard,
that is, whatever that whatever that is up to Kingsville there. Is that what it's called? I can't remember. I travel so much, I just can't remember everything. But when I got off 95, you cross the bridge and go up the route. There was the coyote carcass laying on the bridge. Mm. On the overpass, somebody had struck on the highway right there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, they're certainly more common, and I'm hearing more complaints about them in Dorchester County now.
Mm. Yes.
You know, it seems to be a concern with the sycamore hunters down there that they're working on the sycamore. I don't know that for a fact. I don't know if the habitat that the sycamore inhabits overlaps coyote country or not, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's coyotes in the marsh. I've seen pictures of coyotes on trail camera, you know, photos of guys who own property that have sycamore, but, you know, is it in the hardwoods or what is it?
We actually have coyotes in the inner city of Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
In the little wetlands areas, the drainage areas.
Absolutely.
And stuff like that. They're actually – so to say, I think coyotes can inhabit anywhere where they can actually have something to eat.
We had a picture somewhere in my vast computer files. There's a picture of a coyote that had been, I'm not sure why it wound up there, but it was underneath one of the docks down at the harbor.
I can believe that.
Somebody had taken a picture and sent it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But anyway,
yep.
Let's talk about concepts a little bit more. Not much on the whitetail, other than Western Maryland.
Region A kind of dominated the stakeholders meeting, and other than what I said at the stakeholders meeting, there was really nothing at all said about Region B at all.
No, right. That's true.
So I was a little surprised about that.
Well, Region A, what they're talking about out there, and partly to the efforts of QDMA in Western Maryland, and the fact that the harvest out there, the antler deer harvest, roughly 70% of the antler deer harvest is year-and-a-half-old bucks.
Yep.
Very young.
Yep.
Very young.
Yeah. And that's been going on for 15 years. I mean, that percentage has really not fluctuated other than a percent or two annually.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like a flat line. I mean, it's...
Well, it's the brown and down mentality.
Yes.
And I grew up in that mentality in Western Pennsylvania. You see a spike buck, you kill it.
Yep.
You see a 4-point, you kill it.
Whatever you see.
Whatever you see, if it's illegal, if it's got 1.3 inches or longer or a branched antler and it's a buck and it's legal, goodbye.
That's correct.
No question about it.
That's right.
And that is the wide mentality in that region. And that is Eastern Washington, Region A. Western Washington.
That's
Western Washington. I get East and West mixed up.
Yeah.
Eastern Washington, Allegheny and Garrett counties.
That's correct.
Okay. So what they're considering there is an antler restriction.
Yes.
On one of the three buck limit.
You're able to kill a antlered deer in each of the three seasons.
Right.
One of those antlered deer must be 3 points on one side or more.
Right.
And that's what they're proposing.
Right.
Now, statistically,
not very many people kill three bucks.
Statistically, and they don't kill more than one buck.
Correct.
So, will this have any effect at all? Absolutely not.
Probably not.
Probably not. If it is, it'll be so small that it won't make any difference at all. But it is a regulation.
Well, it could have legs. It's the toe under the tent. You know,
it's a start in a direction. Along with that, it should have a very strong educational value to it.
That's right.
And attached to it. Unfortunately, in the Hunter's Guide last year, they omitted putting the it's a QDM is a good philosophy that, and passing younger bucks, they had a little thing in it.
It's all about space.
Yeah, it was. And that's exactly
and
when
that's
I
why
asked
you have
what
to depend
was.
On Maryland Hunting Quarterly for that kind of information.
Absolutely.
I got to take a break. Time to tell the folks about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. This is a fishing and hunting show, folks. If you'd like to call and comment about anything you're hearing today, you're welcome to do so. We try to split it up equally among fishing and hunting. Last 2 weeks was perch fishing. This week we're talking about the concepts. And the reason we're talking about the concepts, which are soon to be proposals, there are public meetings coming up on March 4th at Chesapeake College and on March 6th in Frostburg. The concepts, which will be turned into proposals, are not on the DNR website, will be available in early March.
That'd be like Monday before the meeting.
Yeah, that's the day before the meeting.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it's going to happen.
Probably going to happen, yeah,
yep.
Because if it reaches there before then, I will be surprised. If it reaches before then, I'll be more than glad to comment on that next week. But this show won't be on until next Saturday, which is March 1st. And then the concept meeting, or the regulations meeting, will be the 4th, Chesapeake College. So when they tell you that it's going to be on the website in early March, it ain't going to be Saturday. And it ain't going to be Sunday.
That's right.
And then the meeting's Tuesday. So what?
Let me think. That's Monday.
Pick a number between
one and three.
All right. Hey, it's time for the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge. You, too, could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center. Prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. New this year is an invasive species award for those catching blue catfish, flathead catfish, and northern snakeheads. Now, check out the Maryland Youth Fishing Club and the Youth Angler's Log to learn how your youngster can win a guided fishing trip under the Maryland Fishing Challenge. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, the tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. Stop by your local fishing citation center or check out the fishing rule book. Visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? Hey, to get ready for the fishing challenge and for fishing season, we urge you to attend Clyde Sports Shop annual 10-day sale. Starts this Friday, the 28th, and runs through Sunday, March 9th. You can save on premium monofilament line for half price from only 1 cent per yard. We're talking the good stuff. We're talking strand. We're talking trilene. Bring your empty spools and have Clyde Sports Shop install new line. Unfortunately, it doesn't include Power Pro, but you can get great new lines spooled on your reels at Clyde Sports Shop during the 10-day sale, which starts Friday. Specials on Penn reels, the GTI 330 from $89.95, the Sargus spinning reels from $49.95, trolling combos $79.95 and up. All ugly stick rods are on sale, and don't forget to check out the Pfluger rods and reels and the St. Croix rods as well. Fishing licenses, live bait, minnows, rod and reel repair, you name it, they've got it for everything from perch to rockfish. At Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit, number 9, 410-242-6108, 242-6108. And don't forget that fishing hotline, that's 410-247-3474, 247-FISH, Clyde Sports. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and last longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680.
Let's talk to Andy in Catonsville. Good morning, Andy. How are you doing, buddy?
Hey, you know, Alan, without you promoting this Maryland Fishing Challenge, nobody would know that it's alive and well.
Well, that's not true, Andy.
I don't know.
It's in every regulation book. It's on the website.
I'm talking about in the stores
and they get,
maybe on TV and everything.
They get thousands. They get thousands of participants every year, so somebody knows about it, and it's not just me. Well, I appreciate the comment and your confidence in it, but
it would be great. You've on PBS talking about the Maryland Fishing Challenge and showing about some of the awards, and you got some big time advertisers and everything. You've got pretty big budgets, you know.
Well, there's not that big of a budget. That's the problem.
Well, I mean, but I didn't say the budget. I didn't say
there's not that big of a budget.
Well,
all right, I can tell you that. They were playing clinch time last year when all those Diamond Jim fish came in. I mean, what'd they catch? 50 some of them?
Aren't they insured? Like
no.
Well, you know when they had the original diamond, Jim, years ago, he was insured.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody caught him.
There was one Bill Burton. You know that one a long time ago. Somebody caught it. That one that was
The one that you're thinking of was caught at Piney Run Park the first year they had the striper tournament at.
Piney Run Park. What I'm talking about is years ago when they had Diamond Jim in the Bay.
Yeah.
He was in by the beer company. He was insured.
Right. I understand that, Andy, and I'm trying to. Yeah. Okay. You talk. I'll
insured.
Listen. Go ahead.
I say the ones that they're catching now aren't insured.
Correct.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Didn't I just
that
say
makes
that?
All the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Yeah. But I thought they were insured like they, you know, a lot of times. Hey, you know, the only thought I had, you know, when they're combining the DNR into the state police.
What do you mean when they're doing it?
Well,
it's a Senate bill in the General Assembly that says let's do away with the NRP police and transfer everybody to the state police.
Okay, the only thing question I had was I've heard of some other agencies where that happened and they don't have a budget. I was just wondering if that's going to happen with the DNR.
Well, what do you think?
I don't know.
They've been trying for years to get the NRP funded.
Yeah.
And the General Assembly won't go along with it, okay? And now there's nobody standing up for sportsmen or the NRP or anybody else, so you've got senators that want to do this now.
Opportunity knocks.
Opportunity knocks. When somebody leaves the door open, some politician's more than willing to walk through it.
Sure.
Okay? So that's where we are. There's nobody in Annapolis that stands up for fishermen and hunters, you included, me included. Okay?
That's right, yeah.
And the members of the House and members of the Senate know it, and there are a few honorable people in the General Assembly, member of the Maryland Legislative Caucus. There are members in the House and the Senate who are pro-sportsmen, who are members of the caucus, who have to stand alone, without support from the fishermen, without support from the hunters, and everybody and every little user group wants to have their piece of the pie, so they all whine, moan, and complain to their politicians, and sometimes there's a decent suggestion, and sometimes there's not, and sometimes there's outright lies and rumors spread that are just horrible, and unfortunately, that's how things are getting done today in Annapolis, and I personally believe that this is a bad move to include the Natural Resources Police in the state police. They've already taken over the aviation division. So you can't go, you know, you can't say, hey, we think there's a poacher over here that's killed 40 deer on a landowner's property and have the helicopter fly over and find him on the FLIR, the forward-looking infrared radar like they used to. No, the only thing that the NRP can do is call in the state police to fly over the Chesapeake Bay to recover a body. That's it. So
they took their helicopters away. Yeah.
What'd I just say?
And the planes.
All right.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that that's as little funded as they are, they do an excellent job.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm glad you said that.
With the limited budget that they have, because you can read in the paper and all, just like the oysters that were going down to Virginia, a whole truckload, and one bushel was legal.
Yeah, you think the state police would find that? State police would be looking for that?
You know, the whole police department, you know, when we grew up, you had respect for them and all. And unfortunately now, there's no respect.
Speak for yourself.
There is no respect.
Speak for yourself, Andy.
They tell me that. The police tell me that.
Well, that's very possible.
You know.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Got to go.
Take care.
Thanks, Andy, for the uplifting call. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. We're going to take a break for the Wall Street Journal. We'll be right back.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Dan Loney. The recent split of 70s pop darlings, The Captain and Tennille, is putting a spotlight on a medical coverage gap that can leave many retirement-age couples in financial trouble. Though the reasons for The Captain and Tennille's divorce aren't clear, the papers do mention issues with health care coverage. Keyboardist Daryl Dragon suffers from neurological problems. Experts say it's not unheard of for couples facing health crises to divorce for solely financial reasons. Divorce allows the sicker spouse to deplete his or her assets and qualify for health coverage help from Medicaid. Medicare covers health care for seniors, but it doesn't cover long-term rehabilitative therapy, nor does it cover most kinds of at-home nursing care, assisted living, or some trial therapies. Some kinds of insurance will cover costs like these, including Medigap policies and long-term insurance, but for those products, insurers are sometimes allowed to charge higher premiums for those who have pre-existing conditions. So love may have kept them together, but medical costs could be what's tearing them apart. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
Hey, Bob, how's business? Is the new website helping?
Not good. I can't figure out how to get the website finished. How did you do it?
Easy. I called web.com. They built my website for free. Then they promoted it on all the search engines.
Like Google, Yahoo, and Bing?
Exactly. And web.com has helped grow my business so much, I had to bring on new staff.
Hey, if web.com did it for you, they're perfect for me.
Call now 1-800-535-8815. That's 1-800-535-8815. Again, 1-800-535-8815.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
Want to help those affected by Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines? To donate, visit philippinesrelief.adcouncil.org. That's philippinesrelief.adcouncil.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
He showed me how to cast a line, where the whitetail live and how to read their sign.
Hey, let's talk to Danny on Eastern Shore. Good morning, Danny. How you doing?
Hey, Danny. How you doing, Alan?
I'm good, man. What's up?
Man, it's Danny Callahan. I was calling to talk about the merger Senate bill with Natural Resources Police and Maryland State Police.
What do you think, Danny?
Terrible.
Well, I agree with you.
Worst possible thing. I mean, as you know,
You're on the inside, brother.
I know. Well, I was.
Yeah, you're retired now, right?
Retired and almost 27 years. Started when I was 19 years old. I grew up and loved that Natural Resources Police agency with all my heart. It's my heart and soul.
Right.
I watched the aviation section disappear.
Yep.
And that was like cutting your right arm off.
Yeah. I was there, man. I mean, I was there when that happened. I was there. I was the one that brought the aviation division to the Eastern Shore so that people could walk on the helicopter and see what kind of conditions and what kind of equipment you guys had at the this was back in the 90s at the ice rink, the hockey rink at the Delmarva Hunting Country Show. I don't know if you remember that or not.
I do. I was there. Roger Ragland was there.
Roger Ragland was there, and Vic McCallum brought in the whole contingency of Natural Resources Police, and you guys got great exposure there. Did we lose Danny?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. You disappeared off the screen. I don't know what happened there. But anyway, but yeah.
I've made a living on doing that, disappearing off the screen.
But yeah, okay. So tell me what do you think about this? You said it's a terrible idea, but why don't you say, coming from the inside as a retired NRP officer, Danny, why is that horrible for you?
Well,
the idea of it.
The resource suffers. I mean, I can tell you I started in 1987, and I spent the bulk of my career, a few years in Charles and St. Mary's, Calvert County, but the bulk of my career was right here on the Eastern Shore. And so I can speak solely about that, I guess. But waterfowl and deer, in addition to this upland game, we watched the advent of turkey season. We have dove season, all that. The aviation section was utilized in the enforcement actions of every one of the upland game and forest game activities that we have, in addition to the marine conservation enforcement. Oysters, particularly clamming, was a big thing, which is almost non-existent now. There's the soft shell, the white clams. And in addition to search and rescue, and we had several pilots over the years, Scott Zimmerman, Wayne Stallings, John Buchanan, Brian Martin. Every one of those guys would never, ever, ever tell you no. If you needed to go, I don't care if it was rain, snow, as long as it was something for safe flight. But basically speaking, if you had a problem that you needed help with, those guys were there and stuck with you from day one, minute one, right up to the completion, or you just terminated it. We would go back and refuel and come back out. They would stay there. When we lost that, that was a huge asset that the Natural Resources Police lost.
That's correct.
The violators knew that.
Of course they did.
Yeah, and so that was like the beginning of the end, if you will. And there was the Mandel Commission that studied the merger with the Park Service and Natural Resources Police and all that. And this whole concept of merging with the state police and one police force for the state of Maryland and all that. And I understand the money, and that's what it comes down to, money and manpower. And the Natural Resources Police for the last, I'll say, 10 to 15 years has been bled dry in manpower.
Yes, it has.
And I can go back to 1987 when I started. There were, just in the two counties that I worked in, on the Eastern Shore, there was 13 inland and marine officers to do those two counties and those rivers, I mean, everything. And even then, we were shorthanded at times. When I retired, and part of my reasoning for retiring was the absolute frustration of just not having the help. We got down to four people for two counties. Now, that might sound like a lot, but you stop and think. You're out there in the worst possible condition for life-saving. You know, you're it. You're first-line defense. You're the first-line defense in conservation enforcement. And you can't always just do it by yourself. And just something is simple and people don't realize, you know, our job or my job at that time and the guys and the girls of the Natural Resources Police that are still there absolutely care about the resource, bar none. And, I mean, you know, you miss the family dinners, Christmas, Thanksgiving, all that stuff, and your birthday party, because they're out there trying to catch the violators. And I don't mean the violators with, you know, they don't have their stamp, you know, or they don't have their license in possession. And
talk about poachers.
You're talking about the real violators. You're talking about the guys that sneak onto people's property to kill a big buck, and they hide, and the only way to find them is with a flyover with the forward-looking infrared radar. And you find the guy, you find the heat signal on the guy, and send the officers in on the ground.
Yep. In addition to the, you know, I mean, I'm not just we're talking game, but I mean marine side too.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Everything else, but. Just as something as simple as trying, we're talking about the QDA, QDMA system here for deer. And it's great, and I totally support that. But if you take the people who take the time to set up and implement those programs on their farms, all it takes is one bozo down the road to slide in there with a 300 Winchester Magnum 2 weeks before the rut and hunt it every day, and every buck that you have been working and letting pass for the last 3 years is going to be gone by the time you get in there.
That's right.
That's absolutely correct.
That's absolutely correct. And two years ago, I worked with lawmakers and policymakers and bill writers and people who had some influence in the General Assembly, and presented a paper on poaching. And I'm proud to say that part of that paper was implemented into the Wildlife Poaching Prevention Act of 2012,
right,
which now gives the department administrative power to suspend or revoke hunting privileges, you know, based on a person's record, in addition to what the court may hand down.
And at the same time, the Wildlife Cooperators Compact, you know, the other states.
Wildlife Violators Compact, that's exactly right. And that was my question on the administrative end of it. When do you submit that person name to the Wildlife Violators Compact so that he has a mark against his name in other states if he tries to go into other states? And we'll have to explain that some other time. But, Danny, okay, so this is a horrible move for you.
It's not... I mean, some of my best friends are Maryland State Troopers, and it has nothing to do with Maryland State Police, a fine agency.
They are a fine agency, but they're also underfunded.
Absolutely. But my fear is for the Natural Resources Police, fear as far as the conservation-minded people in our state, that those officers that are currently with the Natural Resources Police, if merged with Maryland State Police or some other form, I'm not just saying the state police, but a state police agency.
Right.
The due diligence would not be afforded to them to perform conservation law enforcement, then we would lose that event.
Well, I mean, you're already seeing this to some degree. The Natural Resources Police are called to, you know, they're catching drunk drivers and drug users and everything else, and you know, and I'm sure that's incidental when they're on patrol for other things.
And the demand that was added when the park merger took place, you have the same number of personnel, but you have increased demands as far as enforcement on parks and wildlife management, which wildlife management areas we did anyway.
Right.
The parks were an add-on, which I certainly see the need for.
Right.
But by the same token, when you've only got so many people,
yep,
you only can allocate so many different directions, and it's just like anything else. You know, if you don't have enough money in your checkbook, you don't go out and write more checks.
Go on the NRP website and look at the NRP blotter. What's it show up every couple weeks, maybe? So there's a couple of cases on there.
Yep.
I mean, you've got to be doing more than that. There's got to be more to the NRP, blotter than, you know, you guys got to be making more cases. You guys got to be making more arrests and show up for public record. And I understand ongoing investigations and everything else. But once...
Right.
You know, I mean, yeah, okay, so you catch a truckload of oysters, big deal. You finally get the guys that set the nets in the bay. That's great. That's wonderful. Okay, but there's got to be day-to-day stuff that is noteworthy that should be out there to warn people, hey, you guys are on the job. Right now, as you said, poachers know they can pretty much get away with anything and nobody's going to show up.
Well, and it's, I mean, you always had the fear. I mean, a lot of people I've called many times, three different generations of the same family.
Of course,
and
yeah.
I ask every time, why did you do this? We thought we could get away with it.
Of course, yeah.
To say there was only two of you in the whole county.
That's right.
And so we implemented, I mean, more like a neighborhood watch. That was our biggest ally, was the people providing us the information, the sportsmen, the landowners. They were the eyes and ears. We could only be in so many places on any given time, but you were there on your farm every day. You knew what was going on.
That's right. Yep.
And so now then what we've seen happen, and I've witnessed it in that time frame, when you have to say, I'm on my way, but it's 45 minutes before I can get there because you're allocated to some other duty that's been assigned to you because you don't have the efficient manpower to be able to have the people across the board.
I talked to a sheriff's deputy in Queen Anne's County.
Yep.
Caught a jacklighter and his girlfriend drinking, rifle, dead deer on the ground. Dead deer on the ground. He caught him. He called NRP. Well, we're in Salisbury. That's the closest. We can't get there till, you know, for 2 hours. What are you going to do?
Yep.
I'm going to sit here and wait for you. Get your butt in the car and get up here. And you know, that is unconscionable to me. That is just totally ridiculous. She should have been able to call somebody in Chestertown and say, hey, you know, I got these guys down here in Centerville. Why don't you come on over? You know, to me, the understaffing and the underfunding is unconscionable. I think that our General Assembly should be ashamed of themselves, absolutely ashamed of themselves. And now you have former Secretary Griffin as the right-hand man to the governor, this chief of staff, and he can't see the way clear to free up some money for NRP?
Well, I'm not going to get into that.
This is me talking, Danny, not you.
I will say, Colonel George Johnson,
yes,
Superintendent of Maryland Natural Resources Police, listened. When a few, I'm going to guess, go back maybe 3 years, something like that, ballpark time ago.
Yeah.
And he heard a group of us say, bring back the cadet program. That was the greatest thing
yeah.
ever. And this past year, for the first time, and I'm going to take a shot in the dark and say 15 years, it might have been 20 years, I don't remember exactly.
Yeah.
The longer, implemented that program again. Kudos to him for that. Because what that did, and what I can tell you, is that's how I started. Along with our academy class, which was 11 people. Now, keep that in mind, 11 people in academy class. I don't know how many go through a Maryland State Police academy class every year, but we had 11 people. 9 of us were cadets. We had one go out on a medical disability. Everybody else is either retired
yep.
or is still currently there.
Yep.
Just to show that program works.
Sure it does.
Get the people will stay, the people will do the job. But nothing against any troopers or anything else. I don't mean that. But if we let this merger happen, where's the importance going to go? It's like any corporation. If there's a big corporate takeover, you get rid of the other people and you put your people in to do what you want done.
You got it exactly right, Danny. And I say shame on Senator Dyson, because 2 years ago,
at the Maryland Legislative Sportsman's Banquet, Senator Dyson stood up and he looked directly at the head of the NRP, Colonel Johnson, and said, "I'm your man. I'm the guy that you have to have in Annapolis because I'm for sportsmen." What a phony. What a big phony Senator Dyson is. Please. Give me a break.
That's you talking about. I don't want to get into the politics.
I'm telling you how it is. He's a phony.
The nuts and bolts. Is to pump the money.
Anybody wants to see what Senator Dyson is all about, Google the man, Google his history, and see what he's all about. That's all I have to say.
I just don't like to say anything bad about anybody, but. I am saying
that this proposal, that this bill introduced by Senator Dyson in the General Assembly, goes against everything that sportsmen should stand for in the state of Maryland. It goes against our natural resources police. It's going to eventually hurt the resource that he thinks he's standing up for.
Get the money. Get the people. Give natural resource police the manpower they need. Give them the equipment.
Give them the equipment. Give them the money. Give them a budget and protect the resource. I'm with you, Danny, 100%.
Al, I'm going to let you go. I know you got other callers. I don't want to tie you up. And good talking to you. I'll see you soon.
You got her, buddy. Thanks, Danny. Bye-bye. Well, what do you think of that?
Absolutely.
That's one for the archives.
Yep, absolutely.
That is one for the archives. Well, we've all been touched by natural resource police officers in our lives, in our endeavors in the outdoors. We've been checked, you know, who knows, but they're the first line of defense.
They are,
you know,
they
because are. There are people who have no regard for the resource, for the law, and they're out there, and they're not hunters, they're poachers, they're scofflaws. And they think that the resource belongs to them for their personal use and misuse. So, all right, I got to take a break. When I come back, you're going to talk about the banquet and how to go and where it is and that type of thing. All right?
Okie dokie.
All right, Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Remember that address. You're going to want to go there to the 10-day sale that starts this coming Friday. And that is February 28th. You can put a brand new line on your reels for half price, only starting at just 1 cent per yard. You can pick up a Penn GTI 330 for $89.95 trolling reel, a Sargus spinning reel starting at just $49.95. These are Penn reels, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about. You can pick up a trolling combo starting at just $79.95. That's a rod with a roller tip, a reel, and line. If you want to replace a couple of rods on your boat for trolling for striped bass, you've got them right there for $80. All Ugly Stick rods are on sale. Check out the selection of Fluger rods and reels and St. Croix rods as well. Don't forget your fishing license. Any rod and reel repair, you need a guide or tip repaired on your rod, or you need something repaired in your reel, they can handle that. Live bait and everything you need for fishing, from panfish to rockfish. All at Clyde Sports Shop. Website, www.clydesports.com. Phone number, 410-242-6108. They're open 7 days a week. Take all major credit cards. And the 24-hour fishing hotline, 410-247-3474. 247-FISH, Clyde Sports Shop.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
He got 13 channels of a wrestling coming in strong from a satellite sim. 200 function remote.
George Jones, rest in peace. Rest in peace, Charles, my friend, the most interesting man in the world. Passed away yesterday, viewing at Marzullo Funeral Chapel, 6009 Harford Road, Monday 2 to 4 and 6 to 8. Those of you who listen to the show on a regular basis heard that Charles passed away. Lee, we got you coming up here. You'll have a short amount of time to make your point, but we have to ask EW about the banquet.
Yep, the QDMA, the branch banquet, Bottom Valley branch banquet, is going to be held March 8th, and that's a Saturday. Doors are open at 5 p.m. The location is VFW Post, 467 in Westminster, 519 Pool Road.
Pool Road, okay.
It's easy to find.
Yep.
We have an awesome early bird thing. Go online. On our Maryland website. It's Maryland spelled out, QDMA. .com. We have a list of our early bird specials and whatnot, and we got awesome bonus table set up for early birds this year. It's unbelievable.
Yep.
It's affordable, and the reason we need your support is to continue doing the operations that we're doing and having the watchdog effect of
in Maryland.
In Maryland, right here, in our back route. You know, we need your help, and I mean, we collect biodata for the state. They don't pay us. We do it all volunteer, and it's all based on supporter hunters and sportsmen. So please, please come out and support our event.
Well, there you go. Yep. And how do they find the website?
The website is www. Maryland spelled out. I'll spell out Maryland completely. QDMA.com. And that has the information on there and the details on our bonus table and early bird. Along with our website, we constantly post new whitetail deer issues, legislative, the stakeholders, the regulation changes and stuff. We try to keep everything as updated as quickly as possible, changes and whatnot, and all that. So
okay, MarylandQDMA.com. Check them out. Go to the banquet. I'll be there.
Yep.
And helping out myself. Okay, let's talk to Lee in Catonsville. Good morning, Lee. Thanks for holding. What's up?
Hi, morning. Listening to you all about what they're doing to the DNR cops and all that.
Yeah.
Doesn't CBF get in with you all on the side of that?
Who's that?
Chesapeake Bay Foundation, and all those other groups like that.
You know, that's a very interesting question.
Or they just sit on their hands.
Let's see how this shakes out, and then you tell me at the end of the session.
Well, I'll be listening.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't hunt and fish or any of that stuff. I used to when I was a kid on my grandparents' property, but,
yeah,
you know.
Well, see, what people don't realize is that ethical hunters care about the resource just as much as they care about, you know, going out there and shooting something. I mean, that's the anticlimax, quite frankly. The experience is what it's all about. You know, seeing the animals, making sure there's enough, and making sure that the herd is in, you know, especially in deer hunting, making sure that the herd is in good condition. And, you know, we want a balanced deer herd. We want everybody to appreciate wildlife
and have it
yeah,
in the future.
And have it. And we want to be the ones as hunters who go out and pay for the privilege to go out and harvest the surplus animals.
Right.
And, you know, and that's what it's all about. Sometimes the younger guys, it's a little harder to get to convince them why they're out there and what they're doing. It's not about big antlers, and it's not about, you know, some macho thing. It is about protecting the resource for everybody, and that's just deer hunting. I mean, there's more to it than that, and the NRP officers are the ones that catch the bad guys that don't respect that.
Yeah, well, if you don't take care of what you got, you won't have it.
And you heard a passion plea from a retired NRP officer who spent years in the field, and you heard him talk about the aviation division going away and how that affected the enforcement, and the budget continues to get cut, and the staff continues to shrink. And, you know, this state, Maryland, has the least concern for its natural resources other than pet projects that the administration wants, you know, that they'll pour all kinds of resources into.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All
right. And we've got to, you know, we've got to understand that there are more people who are participating in the things that we're talking about, recreational hunting and fishing, than there are participating in a resource that gets harvested, a commercial resource.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So, you know, we've got to figure out a way to fund these. Well, they can fund just about any other special project. There's no reason why you can't fund this Natural Resources Police.
Yeah, and it's you cheaper know.
There's ways to do it. I mean, there's ways to do it. You can do it through the Motor Vehicles Administration. You can do it through the lottery. You can do. I mean, there's all kinds of funding mechanisms that within the state system that you could find money for natural resources. Why the resistance? I don't know. And Senator Dyson. Last, thank you, Lee, for your call. Appreciate it. Last words to Senator Dyson from Southern Maryland. You are not the sportsman's friend. Right now, I say shame on you, Senator Dyson.